This is Justice Matters with Tim Buxton, coming to you from Yugambeh country of the Kommonberry people of the Gold Coast, Australia. I'm your host, Tim, where my sole aim is to share conversations I get to have with inspiring people doing remarkable work to create a world where we all belong. This podcast is brought to you by the Just Travel Company. Experience wonder and unearth justice and discover the just way to travel today. Visit just-travel.co. Without further ado, here's our guest for this episode of Justice Matters. Well, hey, Phil, thank you so much for jumping back into Justice Matters. It's great to have you back on the show. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had you on the podcast, and mate, so much has happened. You've had a newborn baby. We've just got caught up chatting about a whole bunch of things that are happening in your organization and in the world. I'm so excited, and thank you for just making the time as we kind of delve into some, you know, where things are at with A21, as we talk a bit about some of the maybe some of the more popular things that are occupying the people's media with certain movies and different things. But I'd love to really just not only get your thoughts on that, but just really hear your heart for where things are going and how people can be a part of the solution, how they can get involved and do something. So, yeah, it's great having you back in.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here.
Sometimes you wonder, like, where, like, are we in this for some big breakthrough moment where everything just suddenly clicks, or are we in this to just keep plodding away and just see the long term fruit of it come together? And you never know what could be around the corner that could radically change something. But I think one of the things I've learned a lot from you, and I think is, you know, if I were Chris and Nick Kane, I would be so grateful for in finding you, is that ability to recognize the importance in building a long-term sustainable organizational culture, organizational framework and structure that can really, you know, survive the ebbs and flows of the highs and lows of the work we do. When it's in vogue, wonderful, there's a lot of support, but sometimes it's not in vogue, and there's challenges, and is what you're building able to survive that?
That's a big one for me. I'd love to talk more about that, but yeah, thank you. I think the older I get, the more long-term focused I become. Not that I'm old at all, but I think there's too many popcorn groups out there who are in it for the quick, sensationalizes an issue, creates a project, we're going to solve this in this time, moves on, or a lot of project funding for something, you know, we're going to do this project and grant funding for something very specific. We're going to go in, we're going to pour a lot of money in, hire all these people that we just got to quickly contract in. And then you do something and it goes whatever way it goes, but then it's over and we move on to the next thing, the next country, the next place, the next issue. And I just don't, I think I'm just constantly challenged by the mission that we've set. You know, it's like, if we're going to end slavery, what does that look like? What is our place in that? If we're truly going to make it, what does change really look like? What does it really look like to make a real difference? Well, you got to see systemic change. You got to build something that has a level of sustainability to it. And so we can't just be in the now, in the moment of it all the time. There's work that has to happen every single day, but we have to figure out, okay, the actions that I take today, what consequences are they going to have tomorrow? So, you know, I can, if it's human trafficking, you can have groups that go in and say, well, the police is corrupt, the police is dysfunctional. The police is not doing their job. They don't have the funding they need. So, you know, we're going to do it instead. Or they say, let's give some money to the police, and suddenly they get all motivated. And whether all of these ways of are quite legal or not, either way, what you're building there is dysfunction, because you are you're either taking the place of a law enforcement of a country, which you can never become, or you create a system where law enforcement will only take action if you pay them for it, if you bring the money into it, and that's not going to bring change. So, you know, I think it's so important that we can live for today, but we got to lead for tomorrow. We got to lead for the things that are to come, and think about the future and how we're actually moving towards something where we can have a real change. And A21 is still a very small organization, and by many terms, you know, compared to many organizations out there who are huge, massive. But we've always operated a very lean model that has a big impact. And I'm very, very excited about the future. I'm celebrating my 15 years with A21 on Friday.
It's Get 15, out.
15 years since I landed in Greece as a... I was at 23 years old, had no clue about any of this, no clue about anything. I'd never been to Greece before, you know, and to see what has been built and established in that time, that makes me very excited about what we can accomplish in the next 15 years.
So. You know, wow, there's a lot that you kind of just... brought up.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, having you back on the podcast is kind of fun, because, you know, for those that might listen to this one may go back to the first one and be like, oh, this was amazing. Let me hear what they were talking about last time.
Right.
And the things, you know, I don't think either of us will be embarrassed about the passion and the vision and the heart of what we're about. None of that really does change. But no. I think what you're saying is there's a maturity that happens in your life when you stick at something for long enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the world is needing to see people and organizations that have that kind of grit, that determination, that say, you know what, we're in this for the long haul, we'll ride the ebbs and flows. And like I was saying, one of the things I do love about your leadership style and what you've brought to A21, again, Chris and Nick are probably just so grateful that they found you right at the very beginning, is that sense of like, hey, we've got to build something that's going to last the challenges mm-hmm. and the ebbs and flows. It's funny because right now I know there's a lot of talk once again about human trafficking, because mm-hmm. there's a film that's mm-hmm. made all the airwaves
mm-hmm.
in, I've not seen it. I'm sure you have, and I'm sure that there's a lot conversations around it, things that are, you know, and you and I both know there can be really good positive things that mm-hmm. can be taken when the attention is drawn to it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm correctly and my judgment's correct of you, you're far more concerned with, well, what's going to happen, like you said, 5 years from now,
mm-hmm.
not just what may happen in the immediate aftermath of a film. So mm-hmm. So how's kind of that kind of how is all that's happened in maybe in the last few months, how has that kind of refocused your thinking, or how has that kind of, I mean, I'm not looking for even like comments of whether you like the movie or don't like it or your opinions. No. I'm really far less interested in your opinions of something, but more interested in, for you, what has been something that has stood out more glaringly obvious in the area that you work that is still overlooked, that's still far more, you know, important as people's eyes are once again turned to this atrocious kind of tragic reality in our world, that humans are slaves still in various formats.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a lot there, but I think it shouldn't take necessarily a movie or a production to remind people of the reality of the horrors of human trafficking, which is absolutely horrific. I think it's the most complex crime and most horrendous crime that exists in the world. Human beings being sold, traded, exploited against their will, taken advantage of, their position of vulnerability abused and used. None of that has to be sensationalized. It is incredible. It is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It is hard to understand, but it is a huge scale. I mean, the latest reports show over, 50 million people today live in what we would call modern day slavery. What's defined as modern day slavery? That's incredible. That's one for every 170 persons alive today. I mean, that just tells you how big it has become. I think the beauty of various things that can bring that to light, a big operation somewhere, a big news story, a movie, a documentary, something that brings it back into culture's view and kind of arrest attention from all the other things that goes on in our world, whether it comes to other news stories. I mean, it's important, it's great, but you know this from all your refugee work, and what you've seen is that people are, there's a war somewhere, there's a crisis that breaks out in the moment and it captures everyone's attention. But we all know that the work, it goes on. It doesn't end when the journalist stops talking about it, or when it's no longer on my news screens. It's an ongoing work to bring change, to help those people, to change their situations and turn it around. And so, yeah, for me, I think it's important that, something like this, something that is newsworthy like that will zoom in on a situation, zoom in on something specific that's happening and kind of say that is the issue. And I think the first bit lesson is just, we got to be careful with that because it is so much bigger and it's so much broader. And the issue is there's no quick fix to stuff. We all want that. We want something to be fixed now. We think if we can just do this, we just got to do this one thing and then we solve the problem. So I think that's been a big reminder. It's like there's no quick fixes to complex issues. Human trafficking is able to happen in 2023. Because it's deeply complex and it's deeply embedded into the world that we live in, and to undo that is sustained work over time. It's not a one fix thing. We just if we solve this, then we solve the problem. No, there's actually lots to it.
It's almost like the thread. It's like the thread you pull suddenly undoes the whole garment, right?
Right.
And what I kind of hear you saying is sometimes an oversimplification, an over dramatizing of a particular idea can mislead people into thinking who are the heroes,
right?
Who are the victims?
Yeah.
Who are the perpetrators, and what that does is that it kind of can reinforce the issue's something over there. Mm-hmm. Doesn't affect me or involve me, but look at these heroes out there doing wonderful work.
Yeah.
And to me, I guess it's something in my line of work, which, like you said, is very similar in that I focus a lot of my energies towards displaced people, those that have been forced to flee for no fault of their own. Mm-hmm. They get caught up in a lot of the same problems that lead them to human trafficking and to modern slavery as a result of that. Mm-hmm. But this is not... This is something that we are all complete. We are all part and parcel and involved in. Yeah. There isn't a gap. And how do I bridge that gap? How do I help people to see that that person that is, I mean, you're right. Like there was how many boats have sunk in the last month with hundreds and hundreds of people on them?
Yeah.
I think there were 400 that died on one boat recently and most of them were children that were shoved to the bottom of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a flash in the pan for a few days.
Yeah.
And it's still happening more and more. And is there another way? I guess my question from all of this is there another way that we can bring this to people's hearts and into people's front of view without having to resort to maybe some kind of sexy models of storytelling?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of positives in these places. I think it engages maybe a new group of people who have not yet been encountered it. And I think human trafficking, I know I'm involved because someone told me, someone engaged me on the issue. It was a person who told me about it, who had themselves encountered it at a face value and relayed that to me, and that opened my eyes and that got me engaged and stirred a lot of emotions that made me take some quite drastic steps to get involved in the issue. And here I am 15 years later. So I think these kind of things are valuable. I think it is important. And I think today there is so much noise. There is so many things that are grasping for our attention that once, listen to this, get this. And we're just constantly being bombarded with issues and problems and so on. And, I don't have an expectation that every person out there is going to be a champion for the cause of ending human trafficking. But I think if something grips you, I think we can become so monotone to all of it. Oh, it's just all bad and it's just all too much and it's just all overwhelming to me. I think that's the thing that I would be more concerned about than anything else, is that, yes, there are a lot of issues out there. There's a lot of important issues. And, you know, I think one of the biggest dangers today is this compassion fatigue. We're losing our compassion for the great needs of the world today. And more importantly, like you say, our part in it. What can I do about that? What is my place in that? Where do I belong in this issue? And I think what we have to be advocates for, if anything, is that if there's something that grips your heart, let something grip your heart. Let something really grip it and go with that and stay with that and see, find your place in that and see that sustained for your life. Make it become a life course for you. It doesn't mean you have to travel and work for it, but like, what is your part in supporting that, in raising awareness about it, in getting behind that issue, that core issue? For me, that's human trafficking. And it doesn't mean I don't care about all the other issues out there. I do. There's a lot of things that are connected to human trafficking, but that's what I'm dedicating my life to. And that's okay. Yeah. I think that's what we need. It worries me a little bit that I hear this more and more now. People are just like, there's so many issues in the world. We're becoming so informed. And that's, information is powerful like that to, you know, we live in a world, in an age where we just have access to such incredible piece of information and news stories on the other side of the world that we have nothing to do with and will never affect us, but that we go around worrying about. But the result of that is that we can really become really jaded, that we can become really blunt, really like nothing affects us anymore because we're just being bombarded with terrible news all the time. And so, you know what, I think protecting your heart is so important. A guarded heart isn't necessarily a closed heart, though. You know, we gotta stay open to what is it that really that catches my attention, that prompts me, and then I want to find out what my place is in that.
This episode is brought to you by the Just Travel Company, your socially responsible travel concierge. Just Travel is the best kept secret in culturally immersive and justice-oriented adventures. Allow Just Travel to take the hassle out of your next trip and experience wonder and unearth justice. Discover the just way to travel today. Simply head on over to just-travel.co to learn more and book your next adventure. Yeah, I can imagine there's a lot of people that feel overwhelmed too when they see that, and it can be really hard to know what to do. And then there's we're all different, right? We all respond to things differently. Yeah. Some of us are like, well, I'm just going to get on a plane and I'm going to find out, and sign me up right there.
Yeah.
And so it's not like there is any right or wrong response, or there is any, you know, I like what you said there, like, hey, just do what maybe you just push into that.
Yeah.
If you're being moved in that direction, if something's stirring in your heart.
Yeah.
And I think that can be the challenge where we can say, not only do I know the problem, but I know the solution. And it's like, hang on a second.
Right.
We don't really fully know the problem.
Right.
I think you'd be the first person to say who spent so much time dedicating their life to that. Yeah. You are learning stuff about this every single day.
Absolutely.
It's like the scientist that's an expert in something is the first to say, I know nothing about this thing, right?
The more you know about something, you realize the less you know, right? That's,
Exactly. Yeah. And to me, that's the challenge in all of this, right, is to have that curiosity but humility in the process. That, hey, I'm not gonna lambast people for reacting or responding in a certain way as if I know the right and the only best way to do or respond.
Mm-hmm.
There can be some kind of, I think, an arrogance in our field, especially if our approach that we've adopted is maybe not getting as much attention as some other approaches, but I think that's where that ability to say, you know what, we're not veering from our course of what we've been called to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna learn as we go. We're gonna not be swayed too much to and fro by the hype and the sensation, which is A21 has done that for so many years. And you've always sought to focus a lot on prevention rather than just trying to put a Band-Aid and a quick fix to an issue. You've thought, as you were saying, even before we, I guess, officially started chatting, you know, you think more long-term than ever before. What is some of the long-term things that you're finding now that need to be addressed more than ever in this issue? What's some of the things that you feel as an organization and you personally in this field are some of the most important things to really address whilst people's eyes and hearts are kind of turned towards this issue?
Yeah, I think what we're really focused on is building sustainable models that is embedded into society to bring that change. And I think the partnership aspect of this is incredibly important. That is on all levels that we got to work together, and that's between non-governmental organizations and governmental organizations and individuals and businesses and frontline professionals. In every sector, we have to find a way to embed, and all of us play that part. I think that's an underlying factor for everything to work. And A21 is every single program that we operate around the world now, I mean, it is absolutely dependent on partnership. It can only exist through partnership. And so I think partnership is something that we are more focused on than ever before. And it's just a question of what that really looks like. And I'm interested in real partnerships, like partnerships that actually get stuff done, that is active focus, action focus, and a real partnership like that is strong, it's resilient, it's mutually beneficial, and it's mutually sacrificial. And so those have to be some of the factors. I think on the information front, I think we are, like you say, we are lacking significantly in the fight against human trafficking. We just know too little. And there are some impressive groups that are coming forward now with statistics and insights that are super helpful, but there's still way too many assumptions and guesstimates and things we have to do because we just don't know. We're still really defining the issue, which I think is both problematic and exciting at the same time, because we're still figuring out what is human trafficking, what is modern day slavery, what does it include, what are the key factors that makes it this or that, where does it fit, and where does that then fit in with our legislation? Because if we're still defining the problem, well then the response to it will always be lacking behind. And so one of the big challenges today is that human trafficking is such a broad issue that a country's legislation, laws, prosecution systems haven't always found a way to frame it. And so we're still seeing very, very low numbers in prosecution. In fact, it has been either in decline or stagnant for the last 10 years. When you look on a global level. So if you look at the reports that come out every year, you will see that the world is identifying more and more victims of human trafficking every year. And so that is both good and bad, as in we would love to see there not being so many victims, but obviously it's good that we're finding more and more of them every year. That's good. But at the same time, when you look at people actually being charged or prosecuted or sentenced, that is in decline. That is stagnant for 10 years, last 10 years. And so there's a lot of work to be done to actually see the real change happening. So we've had a lot of responses to it, but that's sustained effort. And so we have never seen more.
See, that's systemic.
Yeah.
That's a huge systemic problem.
Yeah.
That no matter what, like Spotfire programs or projects you do, you're fighting against a whole system that's still like, you know, feeding the beast, really, essentially, or allowing the beast to just go unchecked. I think of, like, you know, we have whole departments in the US, the IRS, dedicated to, like, chasing down anyone who might potentially, like, be tax evading and not be paying their taxes.
Right.
As if that's the most nefarious crime on the planet. Not to say that it's not. Not paying your taxes is a bad thing. But imagine if that same dedication, effort was put towards how do we target those that are enforcing people in slavery.
Yeah,
like. Which seems far more an important focus.
It is, but it is complex. We've actually never seen more cases where we are involved be prosecuted and also seen a conviction of a trafficker than we are right now in the last few years. So if you flip it around, while the world trend is flat or in decline, we've only seen an increase in that area. And I think, without getting too technical into how we fight this, I mean, you know, the survivors of human trafficking, they are the heroes in the whole story. It's their story. It is their testimony. It's their lived experience. And it's really, they are really the heroes of surviving something that of incredible. It's just, I'm still seeing new stories after having read thousands, literally thousands of stories come through our work, I'm still seeing new stories where I'm just like, I cannot believe this. I have never read this. I've never heard this story before. They are the heroes, and they are the key to actually any prosecution. And so we have to be about survivors. We have to be about coming alongside them, empowering them, giving them confidence, giving them a sense of belonging and security to walk through this journey of both recovery, but also in lending their voice to justice and to justice taking place. And it's in many ways unfair that their voice has to play such a heavy role in the prosecution aspect of this and seeing convictions take place. But unfortunately, they are too often the only witness, the only willing witness. They are sometimes the only piece of evidence to the crime. And, it's their life that represents what took place. And so I think supporting them through that journey and building great programs and having great team that comes alongside them and empowers them, that's where this is going to crack in real time.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the words that have stuck out are this idea of embedding, this idea of sustainable
mm-hmm.
models
mm-hmm.
within society. And so that's hard work though, Phil. Mm-hmm. That's long term work. That idea of empowering survivors to walk at their pace to lead the way in giving them the yeah. strength to address this. I mean, that's a much slower, a much
yeah
more I think, difficult approach, though, would you say?
I suppose, but if we want real change, if we want this to go away, then yeah. that's what I believe is required. Now, where this scales is obviously the big question. So how do you scale this? So I'm not suggesting that we have all the answers here at all. But I do believe in our model. I do believe in our strategy. I think we have seen the fruit of it that it works. And I think there is an operational model and a lot of great programs that have come out of our work. That is being applied around the world on five different continents every single day where we are present now. So our big dream is to find a way to give it all away. How do we empower other groups out there with these tools, with this insight, with these programs? And our dream and vision is really, how do we give it all away? How do we give it all away? How do we use all the things that we've learned, everything, and get it into the hands of all these frontline groups that are out there doing everything they can, but are often under-resourced, underfunded, haven't necessarily gotten the training or the insights, or don't have the network, or don't have the resources to really be effective in that space. And so they have the heart, they have the passion, they have the drive, they got the heart for the cause, and they want to do great work, but they just need some little bit of help. They just need a little bit of come alongside. And so, our future is going to be all about how are we strategically positioned to really, I guess, in a way, showcase this model at work in that context of the world, in that part of the world.
Yeah.
And then how are we then embedding and empowering groups all around the world with these programs? Could we see our programs at work and being utilized in every country in the world? I mean, that's my dream. That's the vision that I walk around with every day. It's like, okay, how do we get these programs to a place where we can really get them out there and find a way to collaborate and truly make this global? You know, Walk for Freedom is an event that we do every year in October. It is now, to my knowledge, the world's largest awareness event about human trafficking. It covers been done in 70 countries around the world now. And it's really only growing. We're getting the momentum back after the pandemic, and people are really getting involved. And you know, it's coming up here on the 14th of October, and we are really passionate to see how can this idea, this concept, go much beyond what we do and who we are. How can it be utilized by groups all over the world? To see this really be a day where we take a stand, where we all come out to stand together, walk together in silence about the issues that of human trafficking, and have a sense of being united in this. So I think there are many aspects to this that are still coming together, but that's really the big dream. I think, and along with a number of things, but at the heart it's like, okay,
oh really,
we gotta have, I feel like we're coming to a point where like we have some good things happening, we're seeing the effects of it now. How can we scale that? How can we get that out? Because we as an organization can't be everywhere. That's not our dream. I don't think that's the, like you say,
do you want to be the next,
that would be,
is that really what you want to be, the next big mega organization? Like I said, you said at the beginning, you're like, we pride ourselves on being lean, on being on being effective in this way. I'm have that dream of being the next, you know, big Red Cross.
Yeah.
Could be great.
Yeah, sure.
And so what,
but that's
then,
not it.
What,
that's not the dream. The dream is not how do we become the biggest organization in the world. That the dream is, how do we have the biggest impact? And that's gotta be that, you gotta remove yourself from that. If you're truly about the mission, we have a mission that's, it's very short, it's four words: abolish slavery everywhere forever. But if we're gonna do that, you gotta recognize we are never gonna do that by ourselves. That's not gonna happen. So if you're really true to that, like you say, you can go about it saying, okay, well, we're just going to create the biggest organization in the world has ever seen. We're going to be in every country. We're going to set up. We're going to have teams. But if we're just real about that for a second, I don't think that's,
does the world
the
need that?
Fastest way we get there, what the world actually needs, or even a sustainable idea or model. And so more so, how are we strategically positioned around the world? We're never going to stop doing the work. Like, we're not trying to graduate from being involved and being in the trenches with people. That's never going to stop. We're always going to do that. We're always going to be developing great programs and resources to fight this fight. But what really is the next level is then, how do we get this out there? How do we get this into the hands of people who are doing great things? How can we actually really work together? How can we have real partnership? And then what insights and data and real time, insights and information to the issue can we then extract from all of that to then empower the next level up, to empower legislations, to empower decision makers, to empower strategy that, okay, perhaps we're no longer just looking at a country and saying, oh, that's a country that's really poor, or that's a country where there's just a high vulnerability, or that's a country where people are being trafficked from, to saying, no, it's these communities in that countries, and it's these tactics being utilized right here, right now. That's what we got to focus our attention on.
And that partnership, that collaboration, that we'll give you all our resources. But what you're saying there is that you actually need just them just as much to give you the real-time information to feed you, to help you then refine approaches and refine programs, refine the work, and then obviously report back up the reality. So it is that, like what you said, mutually beneficial, mutually sacrificial, that dedication. And I think if you dedicate yourself to forging the work relationship and partnerships on that model, then I think you're nailing it. You know, what I hear you say is something I'm starting to say a lot with our organization, You Belong, because I've never wanted it to be the next big organization per se. I want us to grow wide.
There you
not
go.
High.
Yeah.
And to do that, I realized, we need to start a movement.
Yeah.
Around this.
Right.
And a movement around this is like, that's where people sign up for, I'm part of something that, like you're saying, even in your model, this is action oriented.
Yes.
This isn't about building a structure. This is about moving in a direction.
Yeah.
And you can almost feel that collective rumbling when that movement gathers steam and suddenly that it becomes a mighty wave, and that walk for freedom is not a walk. It is a like river of freedom walking down streets, you know, and that's the difference when you want to give something away and empower people rather than build your own thing about it.
Yeah. Oh, you got it. You got it. You know, I think building a movement is a great objective. I will never declare one because I think movements are observed, not declared. But
I like that.
So you know, we gotta just sustain the fire and keep fueling the fire, and keep that going, keep informing people, keep showing people that we can have an impact. So you know, as an organization, we always say that we are driven by a radical hope. It's not the terrible story, the horribleness, the crime that's the focus. The focus is that we can make a difference. We can make a change, and I personally believe that hope is sustainable. Fear and anger, it's great kickstarters for projects. I mean, it can really getting people engaged. But if you don't find a way to replace that with a sense of hope and purpose and make that a sustainability in you, I mean, you're going to run out of steam real quick, because nothing, anger will not sustain you. It will just destroy you. But being driven by hope, that, hey, you know what? I actually think we can do this. We can actually see a change. We can make a difference here. We can see this change. We just got to stay with it. We got to not give up. We got to not grow weary in doing good. We got to not become fatigued in our compassion, but keep a pure heart and keep running, fighting the good fight, keep doing the good work. And we will reap a harvest. We will see a change. We will see the difference in this space if we do not give up. Man, I'm getting myself fired up over here. But we really live this every day, and we believe in this, that there's something special here that we can do in our lifetime, in this generation, in this century, to make a difference.
Well, you and I, we started this off script talking about our kids.
Yeah.
We have every reason to leave them a world in which them, their friends, their who knows where God will take them in this wide world to live as professionals, as people involved in whatever course of life they live. What world are we leaving them?
Yeah.
And so you and I think equally have that dedication, that passion. We want to leave a world where people belong, mm-hmm. where people are free, where people have every and equal opportunity to thrive and to be what they deep down want to be and contribute in this world. And, you know, I loved how you kind of shared, you know, about this notion of a movement not being declared but observed. I was thinking, but it is something, as you've kind of talked, that we can all be part of, right? Like we can all bring our piece to the puzzle, you know, to be like, this is how collectively we can move in the same direction.
Yes.
We're gonna have different gifts and different angles that we can provide and bring, but it is gonna be collectively moving towards that common goal, driven by hope. Man,
yes,
I love it. Dude, this is like being the best spark catalyst for me, just chatting with you, which is always the case, but But I think it's important. I think it's really, it's really important for people to know that you guys have been around for a long time. Like when people want to get involved with A21, this isn't an organization, like you said, 15 years that you've been on board, and and it's been around on the front lines and in many countries. And it is something that you can rely on your work. You can rely on the integrity of the local partnerships and the way that it's been led by those on the ground in local situations. And your founders and your work have the utmost integrity. People know them, and they've stood the test of time for decades. Chris, Dean Kane and Nick Kane are just phenomenal leaders. So I think if anybody's listening to this and is like, how can I get involved? I think you're definitely should be one of the first places that people can go. And you can get involved for this little is like on October 14, jumping on and
joining Walk for Freedom,
surrounding yourself with a few other people that care about the same thing as you, and who knows where that could lead, you know?
We go very far to really empower everyday people, because human trafficking, it doesn't happen just far away. It happens right where we are. It happens in your city, your town, your community, whether you believe that or not. That is unfortunately the truth. And so that means, but the beauty of that, if you can say it like that, is that it's relevant to your life. It's relevant to where you are. And so you can play a part where you are in your community.
Yeah,
it matters. And so, you know, our website, you can create an absolutely free account there. And that gives you access to something called an action hub, which is just packed with resources, training for yourself, resources you can use in your community. All of it is for free. There's nothing that's paid. And so you can download it. You can utilize it in your community and your, I don't know, sports communities you're in your faith communities, in your world of interest, in your schools, in your workplace. I mean, there are resources there where you can be part of educating people around you, spreading awareness, building prevention, depending on where you are. And it's in multiple languages. And so, I'd encourage anyone there to check that out.
What an amazing resource, the Action Hub, you said.
Action Hub, and there are also social media groups that you can join, and so that you're actually connected with other people who have this passion as well. So you're not alone. So even though there might not be someone in your immediate circle of relationship, you can join with people all around the world who is part of this as well, and who has the same heart and passion that you have for this cause. And so there's some really cool resources there that I would encourage anyone to check out.
Oh yeah, I'm doing that right away. I mean, you've already given me a million. I mean, this is an area we've been pushing in You Belong as well, to build communities, build places where people can feel they can volunteer wherever they are and learn and get those resources and, you know, be part of a community.
Yeah.
You guys are doing it. I'm going to be heading over there to steal some of your ideas. That's for
Please
sure.
Do.
You said you're going to give it all away, so I'm going to take your word for it. Hey, I got a question for you. Because this is where I think for people listening here, some people might feel a little bit lost sometimes.
Yeah,
you know, you feel like you might be stuck in a job. You might be. Yeah, you know, in a relationship that's just not working out, or you're in a hole, or you're stuck on a trajectory in habits, whatever it might be, where you just feel like you're lost. Has there ever been a time in your life, Phil, when you felt lost? And I don't necessarily always mean in a negative or a bad sense, but just a time in your life when you felt lost. And you may be confused. And then what was it like when you traversed the other side of that place of being lost?
I mean, the thing that pops into my mind is a few years back. I was a student, a young student, and I was really struggling. And this was before age 21. This was before all this happened in my life. But I'd started on this. I mean, it was in Denmark, so it's a little different school system, but it was, you know, a bit of a higher education, if you like, not a degree or anything like that. But I was in this school and I was really struggling. I just did not like school. I'm a very practical guy. I'm the operations person here. Like, that's what I'm about. And I was really struggling with school at that point. And I ended up dropping out of the school. And I was absolutely lost. This is the most lost I've ever been in my life. I was just sitting in my parents' basement, staring at the wall, and just did not have a purpose, did not have a pathway forward. And I ended up finding a job, and it was a job that I didn't like doing. It was in a warehouse. I felt no purpose with it. There was no connection that really brought me to life. But I was there. I was doing that for a while. But it was just such a sense of failure to actually drop out of that school and to give up on something that I had started. And that's something that has never left me. And so now that I'm, you know, I found a pathway. I was the way I got out is I made a pretty big decision to go to Australia and study there. Yeah. And that changed my life and really put me on a course to the life I live today. But, you know, and I look back at that, you know, it's not a highlight of my life at all. It is an absolute low light, but the perseverance that came from that experience has been incredible, because every time I've come to a point in my life where I've wanted to give up, and there's been many of those moments where it's been difficult, where it's been hard, where it's like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I've fought back to that time where I did give up, where I did drop out. And I just have decided that that's not going to be my story. That I'm not going to be someone who gives up. That's not going to be, I've tried that. It's not a great feeling. It's not a great experience. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to stick this out. I'm going to stay with this. And so something that was actually an incredible failure in my life has really become an incredible strength and resilience.
Yeah.
And today I'm almost done with my master degree now. I'm studying in the midst of all of this as well. And
goodness,
that's for me just personally an incredible achievement to get to that. Even though it's so much later in life, I'm catching up. I'm righting the wrongs of the things that I feel like was a failure. You know, what was a really tough season has really become a strength in my life.
Phil, thanks for sharing that. I know there's probably so many people listening that have dropped out of things, that have made similar decisions. I know I dropped out of uni like you. I'm staring at a graduate certificate in business that I completed a couple of years ago because I dropped out of uni.
Yeah,
I can relate to you in so many ways. What I think is so wonderful and redeeming, though, is that in that pathway of like getting completely lost in your direction, where you're heading, what you're doing, you didn't feel like you were doing anything of purpose, you weren't fulfilled, you made a courageous decision to go on an adventure, to go to Australia, to make a big, you know, unknown, so many unknowns about would this even do that. And I think the getting lost part is almost necessary to truly discover, like, what is it you're willing to fully live for and go out for? And look, if anyone wants to listen back to our first episode, you meet your incredible sweetheart there. You've now got two amazing children and 15 years with A21. Mm-hmm. And you're like an amazing friend and inspiration to me every time we chat. I feel like I've got a friend who's out there in the trenches just doing their part, and I feel such a joy every time we chat. So thank you for sharing that story at the end here. Mm-hmm. And just I think that's a really encouragement for people, you know, for all the things they've heard, whatever they might be, you know, wanting to do next. They know they just hang in there, keep going, and keep being faithful and persevering. What an awesome story. Thanks so much. Tim. Is there anything else you want to share to anybody out there? Places to visit? Obviously, we've talked about the website and the Action Hub, but is there anything last things you want
to say? I just want to say thank you to you, Tim, and for the work that you do and for this podcast and getting the word out there, encouraging people to find their place. That's something that is relevant to every single person. But you've always inspired me as a guy who is doing incredible things, but more than anything, it's just an authentic, genuine guy, a good guy that I want in my life. So I'm really grateful for our friendships and for connecting like this and for everything that you are doing and continue to do. And to everyone out there who's listening, thank you for joining. I just believe that there's incredible things on your life that you're not here for by random, but absolutely, there's something that your life can contribute to, and I really encourage you to find that, to keep your heart open, to not close it up, but to keep it open for what that might be. There are skills and talents in your life that can make a difference and can do good things and can make this world a better place. I really think life is so much more than studying, working, and having friendships, and all those things are great. Your life can play a bigger role. And so, as an organization, if you're passionate about human trafficking, we want to do everything we can to empower you. And I've shared some of those resources. I hope you'll join us on October 14th. It's going to be epic. There's walks already on our website. You can find it. There's this big Google map. You can kind of open it up, zoom in on your area, and you can literally click on where it's you should check that out, Tim. It's really cool. Yeah, I love that map. You go on there, a21.org/walk, and scroll down to the big map, and then you can find where you are, or just zoom out and see all the walks happening all over the world. There's hundreds of them now, and you can find something near you, and I hope you're able to join that, or perhaps consider hosting one yourself. And so, let's all come out and be part of that day, and show that we will not stand for a world where people are being trafficked and sold. That's not the world we want to live in. And so, I think we can make some big waves that day. So thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for making it to the end of another episode of Justice Matters with Tim Buxton. It is an immense privilege to share these conversations and inspiring people with you. To learn more about how you can get involved or learn more about today's guest, head on over to the show notes or episode description. This podcast was produced by the master himself, Jose Villotto, with just a little bit of help from me. The featured music is the song Turning Over Tables by The Brilliance. Lastly, to my Patreon community out there, thank you so much for your support and generosity. Without you, this podcast would not be possible. If you'd like to become a patron and get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes content, visit patreon.com/justicematters and start your Give What You Can monthly contribution today, and join me and so many others in creating a world where everyone belongs. Until next time, thank you for subscribing and sharing this podcast with your friends. Justice Matters with Tim Buxton acknowledges and pays respect to the past, present, and future traditional custodians and elders of this nation, now known as Australia, and the continuation of cultural, spiritual, and educational practices of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.